Well, all right. I think I know what I'm supposed to preach now. From now on, every time I preach, Melody's singing, I think, over here. And I don't know what y'all just heard over in the FLC, but I guarantee you it didn't have as many exclamation points in it as it did as what we just heard over here in the worship center. But thank you, choir, for that. All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. You can go ahead and find that. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 here in just a moment. Let me ask you a question as you begin that, or as you find that place. What would cause you to give up? What would cause you to quit your job? Now, some of you are sitting there and you've got a lot of reasons, and you've already got them planned out, and you may even be thinking that tomorrow's your day. But what would cause you to quit your job? Usually we quit our job when we just get disgusted with things. Maybe it's that sorry old boss that you work for, and he just can't get anything right, or he always thinks he's right, and he's just not very reasonable, and he's not very fun to work for, and you think, you know, I hate this job, and I don't like this boss, and I don't like working for him or her, I've never liked that, I'm quitting. Or maybe it's just the work environment. Maybe you don't like your coworkers. And you're thinking, you know, I need to find something else because it's just time for me to go. So maybe it's just the work environment, or we tend to quit jobs when we finally get to that point where we say, they're not paying me enough to do this. You know, a person doing what I do, producing what I produce, bringing the work that I bring to this situation, they ought to be paying me more than this. And so I'm quitting because they don't pay me enough to do this job. Or maybe it's just when you just get to the point where you're just so frustrated, you're just so fed up, you've had a bad week, you've had a bad month, you've had a bad year, you've had a bad 10 years, and you're just done with it, and you're just ready to move on. Rarely do we quit a job when we've just had our best day on that job. How many of you would walk in the day after you've just reached the heights of success at your job? Maybe you've had the most sales. Maybe you've had the most sales in the history of that company. Maybe you've had the greatest growth in the history of that industry. And you walk in the next day because you're at that high point and you say, I'm done here. I'm gone. I've gone as far as I'm quitting. And you just walk out. Anybody ever done that? No. Most of us don't leave on the high note. Most of us leave only when things get really frustrating. And we do that not only in our jobs, but we do that in all aspects of our life, really. We don't ever leave jobs or relationships or obligations until we've just gotten kind of miserable with things. And we decide, well, it's time to move on and find something new. And most of us don't leave at that point where we feel like we're at the high point. But there's another reason to quit. There's another reason to let go of what you have and move on to what is next. And that is when you come to the point and you realize that there's something better to pursue, where a better opportunity has come along, where a new opportunity has opened up. That's a reason sometimes that we quit and that we leave. Rarely do we do that, but it is an opportunity when something better comes along. And as we turn to Luke chapter 5 here in just a moment, we're going to see that that's exactly what Simon and his friends did. They left on a high note. They quit their job after the greatest day they had ever had on that job. So let me get my reading glasses out here and let's read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And then I want to think about this for just a few minutes this morning. Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11, it says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's simply the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. There he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. This is the part of the story we love. Verse 5, it says, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Simon, I'm going to call him Peter because we know that's who he eventually became, and we're more familiar with that name, and I don't want to get confused going back between Simon, back and forth between Simon and Peter, but we're just going to go ahead and call him Peter. Peter and his friends, Peter and his partners were fishermen, and they had just experienced the height of their profession. They had just experienced the best day they had ever had fishing. The story says that Jesus was teaching there by the Sea of Galilee. And the crowd had sort of gathered around him to such a point that he was feeling pressed back against the water's edge. And he saw a couple of boats there. Guys had been fishing, and I guess they had finished, or thought they had finished their fishing for the day. And they were over to the side maybe cleaning their nets. And Jesus stepped into one of the boats, and he found out it was Simon's. And he said, "Hey, Simon, would you mind taking me a little bit out here in the water so that I can get away from the crowd a little bit? And because I've got some more things I want to teach them." And Simon says, "Sure, I'll get in there." And they get in, and they go a little bit out from shore. And Jesus begins to teach. And when he's through, he looks at Simon and says, "Simon, I want to go fishing." Simon's been fishing all night. Peter's been fishing all night. And he really doesn't probably want to do it, but he says, "Okay, since you said you want to go fishing, we're out here already, I'll take you fishing." Jesus says, "Let's go a little bit deeper in the water out here, and when we get out there, you let your nets down." And so they go a little bit farther out from the shore, and they get in a little deeper water, and they let the nets down. And Jesus says, "Okay, begin to pull the nets in." And Simon, Peter begin to pull the nets in, and what happens? All of a sudden, they just keep pulling fish in. They just keep pulling fish, net after net after net, pulling fish into the boat. And finally, Peter realizes, "We can't handle this by ourselves." And they yell, hey, guys, come on out here. Come on, we need your help. Bring your boat out here." And so the other guys bring their boat out there, and they just keep filling these boats up to the point where the Bible says the boats began to sink. I mean, that's almost too much of a blessing, isn't it? I mean, who wants to be on a boat that's sinking? But they're pulling in so many fish that the boats are beginning to sink. Literally more fish than they could handle. How many of you guys in here are ladies or fishermen? We got any fishermen in here? Okay, we got a few. All right, would any of y'all, I mean, some of y'all probably have like a secret fishing hole that you know, where it's like, you know, you can go there and you can catch fish. If I ask you, would any of y'all go out there in the Welcome Center right after this service this morning and tell everybody where your secret fishing hole is? Probably nobody would, because see, the thing about a secret fishing hole is it's a secret. And you don't want anybody else going there, because you want to be able to be the one who goes and catches fish. Fishermen are always looking for the place where they know they can catch fish. Now think about Peter and his friends. They've just pulled in more fish than they can handle. I mean, I imagine this might have been weeks worth of fish that they caught in this one fishing trip with Jesus. What would a smart businessman do? If you're a fisherman, that's how you make your living. That's how you feed your family. That's how you clothe your family. That's how you house your family. If you're a smart businessman and you've just experienced this kind of catch, what would you do? Well, I think most people, if they were intelligent businessmen, would say, "Okay, well, all right, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was partly cloudy. It was about 78 degrees. There was a slight breeze blowing from the west or the east or wherever it was coming from." And they would begin to note all of the conditions. They would say, "Well, you know, we're about a quarter mile off the shore." And they would have begun to mark down all of the particulars of that particular event. Why? So they could come back and do it again. Now, here's what a really smart businessman would have done. He would have done all of that, but he would have gone one more step. He would have tried to talk Jesus into becoming a partner in his business, wouldn't he? Because all of a sudden, you've met a guy who seems to know where the fish are. And you would want him on your team, so maybe you figure, well, this guy must really know the Sea of Galilee. Let's get him on our team. Let's get him working with us so that every time we go out, we can catch more fish. Because if we catch more fish, we make more money, right? So you would think that's what Peter and his friends would do. But that's not what they did. Did you catch what Peter and his friends did? When they hauled in these two boatloads of fish that were sinking their boats, they didn't come up with a better business plan. They quit. They quit their job and they walked away. They had just found the best fisherman and the best fishing spot they had ever known or seen. And what did they do? They quit. They pulled their boats up on shore. They parked their boats. They left their nets there. And they walked away. Why would they do that? That makes no sense. Why would they do that? I believe it's because this experience showed Peter and his friends that Jesus was bigger than fishing. This experience showed Peter and his friends that there was something bigger to life. There was something more to life than just their career and fishing and making more money. There was something more to their lives. They saw in Jesus one who would make their life more than just fishing all day, not catching a whole lot, griping about it, grumbling about it, cleaning your nets, going out the next day, doing it all over again, catching enough to get by for that day. They found in Jesus somebody who said, in whom they saw, life is about more than this. There's something bigger in life than what we're doing. And for that reason, they were willing to leave their boats, leave their nets, and go with Jesus. What else would cause them to give up everything that brought stability, security, provision, comfort to their lives? What else would cause them to walk away from all that? This was the only thing these men had known. They had probably grown up in this area. They had grown up fishing this lake since they were little children. They had gone out with their grandfathers and their fathers. And the only thing they had ever known in their lives was fishing the Sea of Galilee. In what amounted to literally a matter of a few hours, they walked away from all of it. How many of you would do that? How many of you would walk away from everything that brings security and comfort and joy and pleasure? How many of you would walk away from all of that in just a matter of hours? It would take something really big for you to walk away from it, wouldn't it? There's not hardly anybody in here that would just walk in your office tomorrow and say, I'm done, I'm quitting, I'm out of here. You just wouldn't do that. But that's exactly what these men did, because they found in Jesus one in whom they recognized there's something more to life. Our career, what we do for a living, is not the biggest thing in our lives. It doesn't matter what your job is. Jesus is bigger than your job. Jesus is bigger than your job. You see, when you meet Jesus, Jesus enlarges your world. I think sometimes in modern Christianity, we act like if you become a Christian that somehow your world shrinks. No, when you meet Jesus, Jesus enlarges your world. Because all of a sudden, they were not just called to be fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They were called to be fisher of men wherever the Lord would lead them. And so they were willing to leave the Sea of Galilee for the sake of the world, for the sake of being with Christ. So whatever your world is, Jesus is bigger than that. You know, your kids, if your kids are your world's too small. If your spouse is your world's too small. Teenagers, if your boyfriend or girlfriend is your world, believe me, your world is way too small. Because Jesus, if you're a follower of Christ, He enlarges your world. Normally, we read this passage, and what do we teach and we preach? We get down to the verse where Jesus says, let's go a little deeper out here in the water, Peter. And they go out there and they drop the nets. And so we talk about, well, you know, if you really want Jesus to bless you, you got to go deeper with Jesus and you got to go farther with Jesus. And if you'll just obey it, you'll get out there in the deep water with Jesus. He's going to bless you and you're just going to have abundance in your life. And that can almost become just sort of a sneaky way of preaching the health and wealth and prosperity gospel. And that's a beautiful picture. And that's a great message. I'm not really knocking that message, but that's what we normally focus on. But listen, the catch of fish was not the blessing. The catch of fish was not the blessing. Because if Peter and his friends, if their response had been to mark down the weather conditions and the time of day and where they were and try to get Jesus on their team so that they could just come back the next day and duplicate what Jesus had done and then come back the next day and duplicate what Jesus had done. In other words, if they had just tried to turn Jesus into their carnival show, they would have missed the blessing. Because as great as the catch was, the blessing was still out there in front of them. And they couldn't experience the blessing if they weren't willing to let go of everything that they had known. The most amazing part of this story is not the amount of fish that they caught. If I could somehow make everybody in this church this morning an artist, a great artist. Some of you go, man, if you could do that for me, I'd quit my job tomorrow and become an artist. But no, that's not where... But if you could become a great artist, and I said, all right, we're all great artists, and our project is we are going to paint the New Testament in pictures. When we got to this passage, most of us would paint the boat in the deep water with the nets full of fish, the boat's filling up, and the boat's sinking. But that's not the most enduring picture in this passage. The most enduring picture is boats abandoned on the shore. I asked Tom to get a picture of a boat. Can we put that picture up? Do we have that, Tom? That right there. Now, I know that's not a New Testament boat. That boat's not 2,000 years old. It's just a modern picture that Tom... It doesn't even look like it's in the Sea of Galilee. It looks like a pretty nice place. But they would have been in a boat somewhat like that. But to me, that's the most enduring picture of this passage, is guys who dragged their boats up on the shore, just dropped the nets, walked away, and all you see are abandoned boats sitting on the shore. See, that's the most enduring picture here. And we miss it if we don't see that. Because that's the story of men who recognized what we have is good. What Jesus is offering is better. And since He's offering a better deal, we're leaving this behind and we're going with Him. Now folks, that is the story and the essence of Christianity. Because everywhere you look in the Bible, everywhere you look in the New Testament, Jesus is always challenging people who are thinking about following Him, don't make this decision lightly. Because if you're not willing to let go of everything in order to follow Me, then you can't really be, and you will never really be, a follower of Christ. It's throughout the Gospels. It's throughout the New Testament. It's not what do you want to get out of this, but it's what are you willing to let go of in order to pursue Jesus. That's the picture. That's the message here. And so the question for us is there anything in your life and in my life that we will refuse to let go of for the sake of Christ? Is there anything in your life? Is there anything in my life that I'm just going to hold on to, even though in holding on to it, in some way, it's holding me back in relationship with Christ? Is there anything in your life that you're holding on to so much that it's keeping you from a personal relationship with Him? Is there some plan? Is there some dream? Is there some relationship? Is there some opportunity? Is there some job that you just know I won't give that up? You see, many times it is the things that have hold of us, the sins, the habits, the past that haunts us, that keeps us from really knowing Christ and really serving Him and really living for Him and really going where He wants us to go and doing what He wants us to do. But oftentimes, it's not just the things that have a hold of us, it's the things that we have hold of. And the truth is that somehow that gets all so tangled together in there that we can't tell what has a hold of us and what we just won't let go of. But there are things that we just won't let go of sometimes that keep us from knowing Christ. If you're going to walk with Jesus and you're going to be where Jesus wants you to be, there will come a time when you have to pull the boats up on the shore, walk away from them, and follow Him. There will come a time when you have to let go of some of the things that you're counting on for comfort and stability and security and follow Him. There will come that time where you have to abandon all and follow Him. The word abandon, it means to give up something or let go of something that was once seen as valuable, but it no longer has value. And I'm going to let go of that because I've found something of greater value. It means to let go of it. You know, there are all kinds of things that at one time had value, but now you look at them and go, it's just stuff now. It's just something that I had. I mean, now, antiques, they maintain their value, but there are a lot of things in our lives that we have that are old, but they're not antiques. They just no longer have any value. And if you're holding on to those things, it's simply going to hold you back. The word abandon also means to pursue something without holding anything back, but to go with it with everything that you have and that you are. You see, that was the call for Peter and his friends. That's the call that's what we as Christians are supposed to do, is to go after Christ with all that we are without holding anything back. It's what Paul did. Remember, Paul said in Philippians, he said, "Everything that I considered profitable to me, I now consider it loss." Paul said, "I look back across my life and I see so many things that for him at one time held value. But he left it all for the sake of Christ." He left it all to follow Jesus. And Paul wasn't a loser. Paul wasn't some guy who didn't have anything to lose. Paul wasn't the guy who, you know, was just sort of scraping by and was like, "Oh, what difference does it make if I become a Christian? I'm kind of, now I have anything going for me anyway." Paul had a lot going for him. Paul was a very intelligent, well-educated, probably very wealthy, at least going to be very wealthy man at one point in his life. And he traded it in for a life of beatings and persecution and being thrown in jail and mistreated and hated and eventually executed. Why? Because he found something of greater value to go after when Jesus stepped into his life. Peter and his partners here in Luke chapter 5, they weren't just a bunch of losers who had nothing going for them. These were successful businessmen. These were men who had a good reputation in their community. These were men that if we could go back to those days and walk through the communities there right around the Sea of Galilee and we say, "Hey, have you ever heard of Peter?" "Yeah, I've heard of old Peter. He's a good guy. I know knew his daddy, knew his grandfather. He's a good family, good man, good fisherman, honest, upstanding, does good work, keeps his word," all those kinds of things. That's the kind of men that Peter and his partners were. So they had plenty to lose. They had plenty of good reasons to stay where they were and keep doing what they were doing. They weren't failures by any stretch of the imagination. So they had a lot to lose. And when they walked away from those boats that day, they walked away from something very, significant. They left behind a very lucrative business. They left behind something of worth and of value. But they came to that point where they were willing to let go of all of it so they could pursue Jesus. You know, I wonder if I said, you know, this morning, what we're going to do is when we have our invitation, which we're going to have in just a couple minutes. For our invitation, we're just going to start a pile right up here in front of the podium. And what we're going to put in that pile are things that we're holding on to that are keeping us from Jesus. We're just going to pile them up here. And I imagine that pile would have things in it like car keys, keys to boats and campers, wallets. Some of you even might even have to write out, you know, my work is keeping me from Jesus. I'm not telling you to quit your job tomorrow. Might be things like, there might have to be a few Dear John or Dear Susie letters up here from some of our young single folks, because you're in relationships with somebody that it's not fostering your growth as a Christian, but it's holding you back. So there might be a pile of all kinds of things up here. See, because the truth is that there's nothing that you can hold on to and go with Jesus. You can't hedge your bets. You can't say, well, you know, I'll let go of this and I'll let go of that, but no, I'm holding on to this over here because, you know, there's some security there. No, if you're not willing to abandon everything, then you can't follow Christ. And that's not me saying that. I wish I could say that, but I can't, because the Bible says you can't hold on to anything and follow Christ. You have to abandon. You have to simply let go. For some of you, it may be that image, that dream that you formed back in your younger days when you were a young adult of how life ought to work out and how things ought to be and what you thought life was going to be like. And somehow life hasn't really worked out that way for you, but somehow you are going to make that happen because that's just how you planned it and you can't stand for it to work any other way. You keep trying to be Cinderella even though the foot just won't fit in the slipper. But you're going to jam it in there anyway. And Jesus says, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You let go of everything, no matter what it is. You see, because what happened on this day for Peter is that he discovered that he never really was created to be catching fish in the Sea of Galilee. That was not God's ultimate plan or destiny for him. It wasn't. Peter and his friends, it hit them on this day. This isn't really who we were made to be. We were made to be something else. Now, they could have, had they wanted to, said, but this is what we've always been and this is what we will always be. And you have that option in your life. You can say, this is what I always have been, this is what I always will be, so that's just what I'm going to be. And that's your choice. But if that's your choice, you'll miss out on what Jesus has to offer you. Have any of you in here ever jumped out of an airplane? Any skydivers? All right, I'm over here with a smart crowd, I guess. Some of those over another crowd might have raised their hand. But you know, everybody's got their bucket list, and on a lot of bucket lists is want to skydive. I thought about putting that on mine. I'm not there yet. But I can imagine, if you're going skydiving for the first time, I can imagine the emotions and the adrenaline rush and the excitement and the fear. And I can just see standing there in the doorway of an airplane, 10,000 feet above the earth, I don't know. You know what? Skydivers are optimists, aren't they? You ever notice they wear helmets? What good is that going to do? I mean, if your parachute doesn't open, what good is a helmet going to do? But anyway, they're standing there in an airplane looking down at the earth. And I can just imagine holding on to the side of that plane and thinking, you know, if I let go of this airplane and jump out there, this might be the greatest experience of my life. But here's the other part of that. If I let go of this airplane, it might be the last thing I ever do. And so there you are. There you are with your choice. There you are in the moment of decision. You know, if I let go of everything that I am, that I've ever been, that I ever think I ever will be, to become a Christian, to become a follower of Christ. Well, for those of you who haven't done it, you don't really know. It might be the dumbest decision you ever make. From your standpoint, let's just be honest here. But here's the other possibility. Here's what we, as a New Testament church, want you to think about. It also might be the greatest decision you ever make. And there are hundreds of people sitting in this church who would say, you know what? Hadn't been easy. Hasn't always been fun. I haven't even really always liked all the other Christians that I've known. But I will tell you, it is the greatest decision I've ever made. I can't think of anything back there in the past, the history of my life, that I would say, Jesus, I'm giving you up because I'm going to go back and pick that up. I don't know of a Christian who's worth anything that would make that decision, that would make that trade. So what are you holding on to that's keeping you from reaching for Christ? Because I can tell you, Jesus is reaching for you. Jesus is reaching for you. I don't know if He's calling you to deeper water or to dry land, but He's calling you somewhere. He's calling you to Himself. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to love Him. He wants to live within you because He's got something bigger for your life than whatever you're doing right now. I can guarantee you that. So our invitation for you this morning, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment after I pray, is for you to just come forward and in a public way say, I want to let go and I want to take hold of Jesus.